Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, June 10th, 2022. Section A. Wilson. Time to hold DA accountable. By Stuart Doreen. The attorneys representing Midland's David Wilson announced Thursday that a petition has been filed to remove District Attorney Laura Nodoff from office. Wilson was tried in December for the shooting of a Midland police officer and found not guilty by a Midland jury. In a petition for removal, Wilson asked for an immediate trial setting and also asks the court to temporarily remove Nodoff until a resolution in the matter takes place. In a press release, Wilson's legal team of Allison Clayton and Frank Sellers state they can prove Nodoff violated fundamental constitutional rights, basic legal principles, and multiple ethical mandates every prosecutor knows, including searching David Wilson's home without a warrant, lying to a grand jury to secure David Wilson's indictment, and abusing the grand jury process in her quest to win. We trust those who enforce the law to follow it themselves, the press release states. During the course of our work in Midland, we have discovered facts indicating Laura Nodoff is not worthy to continue as district attorney because she is not following the law. Her actions have directly affected those in the court system and indirectly affected all Midlanders by potentially subjecting Midland County to untold civil liability. Accordingly, and with a heavy heart, we have filed a petition for the immediate suspension and the ultimate removal of Laura Nodoff as Midland County District Attorney. It is based on our discovery of independent facts demonstrating incompetency and official misconduct. Sellers told the Reporter Telegram this is the first action against Nodoff from Wilson's team, with more to come. He also said the group wanting to see Nodoff removed is fully funded, and not just by David, as there are others in the community wanting to see her removed. As attorneys, the gravity of filing this petition weighs heavily on us. Given what we have discovered, however, we feel we have no other choice. Midland County residents have the right to know what is going on in their name and at their expense at the district attorney's office. They deserve better, but that process can only begin when people bring the dark to the light. It is time to restore honesty, accountability, and integrity at the district attorney's office. In December 2021, after 90 minutes of deliberation, a Midland County jury stated that Wilson was not guilty of murder in the shooting death of Officer Nathan Hayden Heidelberg. In the press release, Wilson is quoted as saying, "This is about being a responsible citizen, knowing what I know, and after being subjected to these abuses of power, I feel it would be irresponsible if I did not take action. It's time our district attorney is held accountable." When asked for comment, Nodoff said Wednesday that she had just received the petition and hadn't had the opportunity to read nearly 80 pages of documents. Analyst, time to rethink energy policy. By Mellon McEwen. After over 18 months playing defense, events have the energy industry playing offense. We're on the offensive now, given world events on the oil side and electric side, said Rob Bradley, an author and founder of the Institute for Energy Research. Visiting Midland's Petroleum Museum recently, Bradley detailed how the energy crisis of the 1970s got him interested in the field. "I worked for a Houston bank that had me do an oil and gas study," he explained. He then applied for a grant to write a history of oil and gas regulation and authored a 2-volume study of government intervention in the industry through the 1980s. He has authored several books since. "Today," said the self-described free market voice, "the nation is facing a double energy crisis on the transportation side and on the electricity side." He attributes Texas power grid problems amid winter storm Uri last February to the state's use of renewable energy. The narrative view was it was a failure of natural gas, he said. The simplistic view is it's because natural gas has been wounded by wind and solar. He explained government regulation subsidizing renewable energy means consumers are being paid to accept unreliable energy instead of reliable energy like natural gas. In Texas, the goal of meeting electrical needs through renewables means generating capacity is being prematurely retired. And companies don't want to build new capacity because they don't know how long these new facilities will run or what the margins will be. That is also translated to maintenance and other investment in existing generators being deferred. This is a time for a rethink of energy policy from A to Z, and a time for courage from those in the industry to challenge the narrative that reliables are the future. The faster we can get rid of the idea we can power modern society with intermittent energy, the better off we'll be. The future, Bradley said, belongs to reliable, dense energy sources, and that's coal, gas, and oil. He said discussions about the carbon dioxide overlooks the benefits of CO2, primarily in plant growth and helping plants use water more efficiently. There are also some positive warming trends alongside the benign and negative effects of warming. Instead of spending money on the politics of global warming, spend that money on adaptation, on mitigation. Anticipate what's going to happen. Sea levels may rise 1 to 2 inches. Plan for that. Addressing another concern, high energy costs, Bradley noted the adage, "The best cure for high oil prices is high oil prices." If the Biden administration will let the oil and gas industry work in a free market environment, high prices will be self-correcting. In Midland, food trucks are becoming increasingly popular. Their convenience, along with their unique dishes, can serve as an excellent option for friends and family looking for something different. Here's a taste of three options one will see around Midland. Scooter Dog Tex. Scooter Dog Tex is a new food truck in Midland specializing in hot dogs. Operated and owned by veterans, this food truck is a tasty option for any Midlander who wishes to give back to their community by supporting the local business on wheels while enjoying delicious food. Greg Gambino, one of the owners of Scooter Dog Tex, said that his upbringing in New Jersey paved the way for his idea for a food truck. "I grew up around hot dog carts and trucks, which was the food truck's inspiration. Scooter Dog Tex has only been around for about 7 months, but Gambino appreciates the support from various areas in Midland. The food truck community in Midland is very friendly and helpful. They've been a great source of support. All of our customers have just been awesome. They're all willing to try anything we have, and the feedback we have gotten has been great. While also providing support and a sense of community, Midland offers nothing but kindness. I've been here about 30 years, and the people in Midland are definitely friendlier than anywhere else. They definitely will give you the shirt off their backs as far as supporting the food truck. One of Scooter's Dog's main goals is to provide authentic food for its customers. The food truck features Vienna beef hot dogs for all of its hot dog items. One of the top sellers is Chicago Dog. It has tomatoes, relish, onion, celery salt, peppers, and pickles. Additionally, the food truck features the Detroit Dog. This hot dog includes the Gambino's award-winning chili that makes their customers want to come back for more. Customers can utilize a hole punch card that awards a free hot dog on their 10th visit. By visiting their Facebook page, one can find where Scooter Dog Tex is set up for the day. Customers can also utilize their social media to request the food truck for a future event. Mexico on Wheels. Jose Gomez, owner of Mexico on Wheels, also said how the community of Midland has helped his business. "I'm really grateful for the Midland community. We're here for them and because of them. They're really important." Mexico on Wheels, a popular Mexican food truck in Midland, started its business by selling tamales. "Once we started selling tamales, we got the food truck and we started doing all these other dishes. We specialize in street tacos and authentic Mexican food. Some menu items include crispy street tacos, cheesy nachos, and Mexican burgers. Customers can be sure to experience the smells and tastes that Mexico offers without having to cross the border. Mexico on Wheels also offers food morning through night. Together, their breakfast burritos, lunch plates, and dinner options accommodate Midlanders craving the Mexican food at any time during the day. The food truck is unique as they utilize an online ordering system for their customers. Customers can arrange to pick up their food or even have food delivered. According to their Facebook, Mexico on Wheels offers mobile ordering. In addition to its Facebook page, one can visit MexicoOnWheelsTX.com for a full menu and more information. Cliff's Food Wagon. Cliff Darmon, the founder of Cliff's Food Wagon, said a unique aspect of his food truck is the menu. "We're not your common food menu. I consider our food to be fun. Indeed, with delicious funnel cakes, often topped with whipped cream, bananas, strawberries, ice cream, or chocolate syrup, first-time customers should not be surprised when they return to Cliff's Food Wagon for a second time. Other popular menu items include their savory roasted corn, sausages on a stick, and turkey legs. I feel like food trucks are as much a recreation as they are food. In the past, the food truck has been at fun events such as indoor carnival at Polo Park Estates. Darmon typically brings his carnival-like atmosphere to various locations in Midland and Odessa. Just like carnivals, Cliff's food truck depends on fair weather. Our biggest challenge as a food truck is the weather. It affects customers and, of course, how they eat. There is a sweet spot in West Texas that we can thrive on. That time is early spring, usually lasting until about Thanksgiving week. However, when the weather cooperates, Darmon said he is indebted to his customers as they have helped grow his business. Midland and the Permian Basin supported us when we were growing, and that allowed my business to grow. Eventually, it became my full-time job and allowed me to support my family. They supported us, and I am grateful for that." One can find more information about Cliff's Food Wagon by visiting its Facebook page. A 40-year-old Fort Worth man died Wednesday following a two-vehicle collision in Andrews County on Sunday afternoon. The DPS reported that Terrence Vreek was driving a 2020 Toyota northbound on Farm to Market Road 181 when he failed to yield the right-of-way at the stop sign intersection at Texas 115. It was there that a 2012 Freightliner truck tractor with trailer traveling eastbound struck the Toyota. Vreek was transported by helicopter to Covenant Medical Center in Lubbock, where he was pronounced deceased. The accident took place 13 miles from Andrews. Vreek was wearing his seatbelt. Clara King passed away on June 6th. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 Thursday, June the 9th, at Dally Pickham Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, June 10th, at Greenwood Baptist Church Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Dally Pickham Welsh Funeral Home. Harold Barr passed away. A memorial service will be held at Mid-Cities Church in Midland on Saturday, June 11th at 10 a.m. Arrangements are under the direction of Andrew's Funeral Home. Jack Honeycutt passed away on June 6th. There will be a small burial service at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Lubbock on Friday, June 10th at 2 o'clock p.m. There will be a memorial service on Saturday, June 11th at the First Christian Church in Midland, followed by a reception at the Petroleum Club at 5 p.m. in the Wildcatter Room. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Randall Crockett passed away on June 8th. Memorial services will be held at 3:30 p.m. June 10th at Nellie Picklin Welch Rosewood Chapel in Big Spring. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. John Frank Peters passed away on June the 8th. Cremation services have been arranged by the family. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, June 10th, 2022. Garcia receives maximum 40-year sentence. A Midland woman who asked for probation after admitting she was drunk when she struck and killed twin 6-year-old girls 3 years ago was sentenced to 40 years in prison Thursday, the maximum sentence possible. The jury deliberated an hour before sentencing Angelica Garcia to 2 20-year sentences. Garcia, 38, pleaded guilty to 2 counts of intoxication manslaughter Wednesday. Defense attorneys Michael McLeish and Jason Leach had been hoping that because she pleaded guilty, jurors would place her on probation, as permissible under Texas state law. While prosecutors Greg Barber and Melissa Williams asked the jurors to give her the maximum sentence of 20 years on each count, it was 70th Ector County District Judge Den Whalen's decision to run the sentences consecutively. Aside from probation, Garcia could have received as little as 2 years prison time on each count. According to the law, Garcia will have to serve at least one half of her sentence before becoming eligible for parole. According to the evidence presented by the state, Garcia left Toby's Lounge in the MCH Grand Hotel and Fun Dome drunk on July 3, 2019. And a few minutes later blew through a stop sign, went over a curb, and through a barricade without braking. She then hit Mia and Maya Coy, throwing them in the air before coming to a stop after hitting a portable light stand that moved 35 feet on impact. McLeish and Leach asked the jurors for mercy, noting Garcia's remorseful for her actions, has zero criminal history, and did not intentionally hurt anyone. We've all made horrible mistakes. We've regretted and hurt people, Leach said. Quote, none of us want to be defined by that one moment, and Angelica is no different, end quote, Leach said. Leach, however, asked the jurors not to mistake what he was saying. Quote, Angelica Garcia is not the victim in this case. What happened to her was sad, unfortunate, and maybe heartbreaking, but the tragedy is 2 6-year-olds lost their lives on July 3, 2019, end quote, Leach said. Quote, I would submit to you, though, that the tragedy shattered lives on both sides of the courtroom, end quote. Leach pleaded with the jurors not to let their emotions turn Garcia into a bad person. Quote, I submit to you she's not a bad person. She did a bad thing, a horrible thing, end quote, he said. McLeish told the jurors, quote, the first thing I'd like to state to you is this lady has a conscience. She has a conscience, and she grieves for what she's done, not for herself, end quote. The veteran defense attorney said the Coys are normal, decent, hardworking people who have had great family support over the last few years, and he said the Garcias are the same. Quote, this could have happened to almost anybody in this courtroom, end quote, McLeish said. They aren't being asked to sentence a pathological killer, a child molester, or someone like that, McLeish said. Quote, you're punishing a lady who made a horrible mistake, end quote, he said. Quote, no matter what you do to her, she will be in hell for the rest of her life over this. The rest of her life, end quote. In asking for the maximum sentence, Barber asked them to compare the last long week they've had hearing and seeing heartbreaking images with the metaphorical eternity the Coy's cousins spent on 911. The girls' parents gave them CPR and waited in the emergency room. Williams disputed McLeish's contention the crash was the result of fate, saying Garcia intentionally drank after drink at the bar that night. She also asked the jury to consider whether they truly believe Garcia showed remorse on the stand. It was her contention that Garcia tried to minimize her actions, pointing out Garcia said she had 3 drinks, not 7, that she didn't order her last drink 20 minutes before the crash, and that she was confused by lighting. While Garcia apologized, quote, all of the I'm sorry's at the scene can never change the reality, end quote, William said. Pointing at the victim's side of the courtroom, Williams said she wasn't asking for the maximum sentence for the Coy family, but because Garcia deserved it. Still, she pointed out, quote, those people out there will never have another holiday, another birthday, another 4th of July. God knows they'll never have another 4th of July or fireworks or watermelon, end quote. Sure, Garcia may be living in hell, but she's asking to live in hell among the jurors, Williams said. She's asking to live in the world abiding rules that most everyone follows every day, she said. Williams told the jurors they have an opportunity to send a message to those who could take lives on our highways in the future. Causing gasps in the gallery, Williams quickly flashed side-by-side pictures of the twins when they were alive with photos of their bruised and battered bodies and loudly said, quote, you have an opportunity, take it, end quote. Earlier Thursday, both sides rested their cases, but not before jurors were subjected to highly emotional testimony from both of her victim's parents and the defendant herself. On Thursday morning, Williams led the twins' parents through the last minutes of their children's lives as jurors and gallery members sniffled and wiped their eyes. Garcia sat with her head bowed as Agueda and Raul Coy Jr. took the stand, one after the other. The twins were born in the middle of the couple's six children after a high-risk pregnancy, Agueda said. That night, they went to the fireworks stand on the north frontage road of Highway 80 and Club Drive to spend time with family members who helped run the stand and to buy fireworks for the girls, who loved tossing, quote, pompers, end quote, at other people's feet to watch their reaction, she said. Raul testified Agueda, a registered nurse, hadn't wanted to go because a nephew had suffered burns in a fireworks accident, but he prevailed. When they arrived, the girls ate watermelon and one of their cousins teased them about getting, quote, cooties, end quote, from their shared fork. The girls were playing tag, the couple testified, when one of their relatives screamed that a car was coming. Tears streaming down their face, the couple talked about running toward their girls, who were playing tag, and seeing Mia flying through the air. They both recalled Agueda yelling out to their nephew not to touch Mia, who had landed on her side, but being too late. The couple spoke about giving Mia CPR, but having no success. Agueda, sobbing, spoke about the guilt she still feels because, until someone asked her about Maya, her entire focus had been on Mia. Raul testified he had simply assumed Maya had escaped the car until his sister went to look for her and brought her to him, legs purple. Quote, her face was blue and her lips, end quote, Agueda sobbed. Quote, I questioned myself, do I stop working on Mia to work on Maya, end quote. She kept performing CPR on Mia while Raul, who had just completed CPR training 2 weeks prior, went to work on Maya. Quote, before I started, I hugged her. I hugged Maya and told her that I loved her, and I kept working on her and asking God not to take my daughters, end quote, Raul sobbed. Agueda jumped in the front of the ambulance after the girls were loaded, and Raul took off for the hospital with relatives, beating them there. Quote, it seemed like an eternity, end quote, Agueda said about the ride. Raul testified that during the entire drive to the hospital, he was pleading with God not to take his daughters, that he couldn't lose his daughters. Raul spoke about screaming at hospital staff upon his arrival, demanding to know where they were. When they arrived, he couldn't get anywhere near them, and Agueda testified about how hard it was not being allowed to be with them, despite her training. The wait at the hospital seemed interminable, too, and then the doctors came out to tell them the twins hadn't made it, the couple testified. He kind of knew it was going to be bad news, but when one of the doctors told them, Raul said, quote, I looked in his eyes and I asked him, are you sure you're talking about my daughters? He said he was sorry, and I just couldn't believe it, end quote. They broke the news to the crowd of friends and family that had gathered and then asked to see their girls, Raul said. Quote, that was the hardest thing I've ever seen, all those tubes in my daughters, motionless, not breathing, end quote, he said. He didn't want to leave them there, and eventually they were asked to leave, Raul said. Quote, how do you go home, end quote, he sobbed. Quote, we wanted to bring our babies home, knowing they wouldn't come back, that we'd never hear them again, end quote. Agueda also said, her voice choked up with emotion. The couple both described the bonds the twins shared as special and amazing, and they said the girls loved to brighten up everyone's day. They never met a stranger, and they were, quote, nothing but smiles and giggles and hugs, end quote, Raul said. Quote, they were beautiful girls, end quote, he said. Under questioning from McLeish, jurors learned a little bit about Garcia, who also cried throughout her testimony. She said, she's been with her husband, Cornell Hunt, for 20 years, and they have two children. At the time of the crash, the Midland resident was working for One Source Resource, but she was fired afterward. The Odessa High School graduate currently works as a janitor for a Baptist church, she said. On July 3rd, she had arranged to meet at Toby's Lounge to spend time with a friend who had flown in from out of town that she hadn't seen in several months. Garcia, whose voice quivered throughout her time on the stand, said she remembers the details of the night up until the crash. But doesn't remember much of the aftermath. She insisted that despite the fact witnesses testified she drank 7 cherry vodkas that night, and she told officers she had 4, she in fact drank 3. Jurors heard evidence Garcia's blood alcohol level was 0.10. The legal limit in Texas is 0.08. She decided to take the frontage road home because there were people in front of her getting onto Highway 80, she said. She also thought the frontage road went all the way through until a light at Fodry Road. As she approached Club Drive, Garcia said she became confused because she saw a, quote, really bright light, end quote, and thought it must be coming from the highway. In her peripheral vision, Garcia said she thought the metal Connex containers and fireworks stand were buildings, she testified. She told McLeish she never saw the barricade at the end of the road and insisted she, quote, absolutely, end quote, did not fall asleep just prior to the crash. Garcia testified that since July 3, 2019, she spent a total of 41 days in jail. The rest of the time, she's been trying to make $700 a month for a GPS ankle monitor and an alcohol ankle monitor that allow her to remain out of custody. Although she's behind in the payments to the county, she said she has obeyed all of the county's pretrial release rules. Garcia insisted she would continue to follow all of the rules if placed on probation. McLeish then asked her why she kept her head down during the trial. Quote, because I'm scared of people, end quote, she said. Quote, are you embarrassed? Yeah, end quote, she said. Quote, are you ashamed? Yeah, end quote, she said. Then Williams began to cross-examine Garcia. They immediately butted heads. Quote, are you trying to tell this jury that the crash happened because of the lights? End quote, Williams asked. Quote, I'm taking responsibility, end quote, Garcia said. Williams asked the same question three times, and Garcia repeated her answer. Finally, Williams asked Whalen to direct Garcia to answer the question. Garcia then responded, quote, no, I'm taking responsibility, end quote. Garcia denied getting on the frontage road because she knew she was drunk and insisted she only had three drinks that night. While the waitress may have set down several more cherry vodkas that night, she didn't drink them, Garcia said. Quote, I wasn't the only one drinking cherry vodkas, ma'am, end quote, Garcia said. She also insisted that if jurors watched the video closely, they'd only see her drink three. When questioned how she can remember how much she had to drink, but little of what she told the authorities that night, Garcia said she hit her head on the steering wheel that night and was in shock. Williams asked her if she was sure it wasn't because she was drunk. Quote, I'm taking responsibility, end quote, Garcia said. Quote, I shouldn't have drank and drove, end quote. Williams then grilled Garcia about her hopes of being placed on probation. Quote, do you think 41 days in jail is all of the time you should do for killing these two children? End quote, Williams asked. Quote, I'll accept whatever they give me, end quote, Garcia said, still crying. Williams asked her again if she thought she deserved something other than prison. Quote, if they choose that, I'm okay with that, end quote, Garcia said. Under redirect, she told McLeish she would accept whatever the jury gives her. On the road to success, Acceleration Academy is gaining traction. With the goal of re-engaging students in their education, Acceleration Academies has set up shop in the Prosperity Bank building downtown. Virginia Hunt, who was avid district coordinator for Ector County ISD, is now district director for Acceleration Academies. She has worked for many years to try and get students to college. Quote, Acceleration Academies is a program in partnership with ECISD that works to re-engage the students that have disengaged from school and to potentially prevent some of our students that are more at risk to drop out from disengaging or catch them before they do drop out. We get the students that need to finish a high school diploma, end quote, Hunt said. And that's what the students are doing there. Students take one class at a time and it looks different from a traditional school. The academies are on the sixth floor of the Prosperity Bank building, so students have views of Odessa from large glass windows. There are places to study in an open area and more private spaces, including the testing area, where remote and face-to-face teachers can provide small group instruction. Hunt said the academies work with a similar population to ECISD's Community Outreach Center, which focuses on students considered homeless under federal law. Acceleration Academies has up to 175 students locally in grades 9 through 12 and ages 15 to 20, Hunt said. They have anywhere from 70 to 90 students on site. She has 10 full and part-time staff members. Some are face-to-face and some are remote. Quote, we host orientations and it's been pretty steady, anywhere from 5 to 10 students at each orientation, end quote, Hunt said. Quote, we do observe national holidays, and because the students have access to the curriculum 24 hours a day, even though our doors may be closed, they can still continue their learning, end quote, Hunt added. Hunt noted that the response from students has been mixed. quote, we have a group of students who want to have 5 or 6 classes to work on because they want to go really, really fast. But we do one at a time so they can focus on and really master the course. They're still going to be expected to take the EOC, end of course exams, and pass them. We want to make sure that the fidelity of the curriculum is strong, so we want to make sure that the students are taking their time in their classes and getting the mastery of content prior to taking those EOC exams, because it's part of the requirement for Texas diplomas, end quote, she said. Some students come in with bad work habits and want to submit incomplete assignments to get a 0. Quote, we don't allow that. Even if they're passing the course, they have to show mastery of content. That is a different way of thinking about the curriculum. That's a different way of thinking about school. Some of the students consider it a little bit more difficult, so it's important for them to be strong, independent learners. It's important for them to ask for help. We do a lot of choice and making the correct choices type of conversations with them because we want to empower them to be able to take control, end quote, Hunt said. Their motto is, quote, own your success, end quote, meant to help students realize that they are responsible for how they did because of the work they did. Students at the academies are used to getting 0s on their work and saying their teacher doesn't like them. Quote, that idea of owning your success, you do have to go keep going back to it with some students, especially the younger students, who, like I said, had maybe learned some not-so-good work habits before, end quote, Hunt said. Another way it is different is Maya Cotton, a life coach. Quote, she works on social-emotional learning, and she's done goal setting with the students, end quote, Hunt said. They also work with teen parent-related services and the Life Center. Quote, one of the biggest things that I see is the older students that may be out of cohort, meaning they didn't graduate in 2021 when they should have. They are very grateful to be able to come back and have this opportunity again, end quote, Hunt said. She is working with a couple of students from 2020, which was the class that went through the initial COVID wave. There is a graduation plan for July with a potential of 35 students. Quote, we also have advocates that work with the students on a one-to-one basis, end quote, Hunt said. Advocates work on a caseload basis, kind of like a case manager. They work with the students that are coming to the academies to make sure they are progressing in their courses. They also work with students who are not coming to the academy to find out what's keeping them out. They partner with the life coach and other community resources to help eliminate those barriers, whether it be transportation or work schedule, for example. Through their partnership with ECISD, breakfast and lunch are provided. Quote, we work around those barriers so that they can come and finish their school, end quote, Hunt said. As they get older, students get a stronger sense of urgency, she added. At each student orientation, they review where the student is and how long it will take them to finish if they keep their current pace. When they're not keeping that pace, they sit down with the student again. Ruth Leos Salinas, the registrar, said students tell her that they felt like regular school wasn't a good fit for them. They thought the smaller class size at Acceleration Academies would be better. They also may have jobs or children. Hunt added that the students are, quote, not invisible, end quote, at Acceleration Academies. Cotton, the life coach, conducts social-emotional learning groups and meets with students regularly to see if they need any mental health support. She provides them with resources and monitors their progress. Quote, as I see them fall off in different areas, that's a key for me to come in and talk about different support that might be needed for that student, end quote, Cotton said. Naomi Pando, 15, was at Odessa High School previously and found out about Acceleration Academies from her mother. At the end of May, she had been attending for a little over a month. She likes the fact that there are fewer students, more individual attention, and flexible hours. Pando also works at Better Burger. Quote, I think it's a good school, and I like it better than the public school, end quote, Pando said. Josiah Alvarado, 15, attended Permian High School. He likes working on his own. One of his principals recommended Acceleration Academies to him. Quote, it's a good school. It's easier for me to work around, end quote, Alvarado said. He has been attending for almost a month. Amelia Enriquez, 18, followed her brother, Santiago, to Acceleration Academies. She had been working on her GED at Catholic Charities, and before that she was at Premier High School. Quote, it's good. It's way easier. I will graduate way faster, end quote, she said. she added that she hopes to become a nurse. Santiago Enriquez, 19, was also working on his GED at Catholic Charities and had been through Community Outreach Center. Quote, when I started here, I liked it even more because the tutors helped me with my schoolwork and they've helped me understand the online. So I really do think this is a good school, too, end quote, Santiago Enriquez said. Both said they feel motivated to work at home as well. He works at Lowe's grocery store. District Revisiting Security, Academics. Security and academics are two things that Ector County ISD is constantly revisiting to see how they can do better next year. During a media call Wednesday, ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said the district is certainly doing that this summer in the wake of the school shooting at Uvalde. Quote, we will be revisiting our plans to make sure that those pieces that we have in place are effective in keeping our students and staff members safe, end quote, Murray said. Quote, we'll also be exploring ways that we can enhance security features for students and staff. Ensuring that everyone that enters is safe while they are on our campus is a primary concern to us, end quote. Murray said he has met with ECISD Police Chief Todd Heiner and his deputy chief to discuss the current situation and additional steps they could take next year to add additional safety. Quote, we're also watching our state and federal lawmakers as they consider options, as well as things that we may be implementing next year across the state of Texas and potentially throughout the nation, again, to ensure the safety of our students and staff members, end quote, Murray said. The idea of arming teachers has cropped up again as it has after previous school shootings. Quote, in our context, in our situation, we have armed police officers that are in our campuses and patrol our campuses. So the need to have armed teachers doesn't exist in ECISD because we have our own police force with armed individuals that are either stationed on our campuses or patrol our campuses on a regular basis. Those are the individuals that are trained expertly to handle those weapons and use those weapons in a dire situation. Those are the individuals that we want on our campuses to keep all of us safe, end quote, Murray said. Asked about increasing the number of ECISD police officers, Murray said they are looking at all options right now to increase the level of safety and security provided to students and staff. Quote, and certainly expanding the number of officers we have is one of those options that we can certainly consider, end quote, he said. There are few officers at Odessa and Permian high schools during the summer. Quote, we have four officers at our high schools during the regular school year. Each of those campuses has 4,000 students, end quote, Murray said. In the summer, there are, quote, far fewer, end quote, students on those campuses, so they do not maintain the same number of officers. Quote, but our officers are stationed and patrolling our summer learning sites throughout the summer months. In addition to that, our officers are also involved in training, end quote, Murray said. Last week, Murray said ECISD, Odessa Police Department, and Ector County Sheriff's deputies conducted their annual active shooter training. Quote, that's something that all of our officers are required to do on an annual basis. There are many training requirements that our officers complete during the summer months in addition to patrolling our school campuses, end quote, he said. On the academic side, Murray said each year one of the most challenging issues school districts face in America is the concept of the summer slide. Quote, school ends for students in the month of May. Students have an entire summer away from school, and then when school resumes in August, we recognize that many students lost much of what they had gained in the prior school year, end quote, he said. Quote, in fact, research says it takes to the month of October before many students actually regain what they lost through the summer months. One of the things we are doing as a school district in response to the summer slide is to create a highly engaging and effective summer learning experience for kids pre-K through 12th grade, end quote, Murray said. Monday was the first day of summer learning in ECISD. Quote, we right now have over 5,000 students participating in our summer learning experience, and we have room for more. The purpose of summer learning in ECISD is really to prevent the summer slide that does occur among many of our students, end quote, he said. But we provide enriching, engaging activities and experiences in our full-day program in the month of June and July, end quote, Murray added. The district's data from last year's summer learning indicated that it made a difference in kids that attended. Quote, the slide that students would normally experience did not occur in those students that were fully engaged in the summer learning experience. So today we invite and encourage students and families that are interested in the ECISD summer learning experience to reach out to their local school, find out more information about it, and then engage in that process, end quote, Marie said. Information about summer learning is on the district website at www.ectorcountyisd.org. Quote, parents, even if you opt not to send your children to our summer learning experience, there are things at home that you can do to prevent the summer slide. Ensuring that you and your children are readying every single day, that is one thing that you can do to help diminish the summer slide, end quote, he said. Quote, encouraging your children to participate in engaging activities, whether those are trips that you may take this summer, students engaging in things as simple as going to the grocery store with mom or dad, and going through the items and recognizing shapes and colors and using mathematics to identify dollars and cents and money that are spent. There are simple things that we can do during the summer months to keep our children engaged and keep their minds actively learning to help avoid that summer slide, end quote, Marie said. The program is open for all students pre-kindergarten through 12th grade, and parents can go to the ECISD website or visit their local school for more information. Registration is coming up once more. Quote, during the summer, one of the things that we do is we ensure that all of our families, both returning families and new families to our school district, are registered and enrolled in the school year, end quote, Marie said. Quote, on July 1st, complete registration and enrollment information will be available on the ECISD website, www.ectorcountyisd.org. You may also visit any of our local schools. We're open throughout the summer, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4 each day, end quote, he added. Murray said it is important that new and returning families take time to register. Quote, that is the primary way that we make arrangements for your children on that first day of school. We want to be ready, and the way that you can ensure that we're ready is by letting us know that you're coming. It helps us with the planning and preparation process, end quote, he said. Through a partnership with the YMCA, ECISD was able to serve several hundred three-year-olds last year. Quote, we hope we can expand that relationship, end quote, Murray said. Quote, I know the YMCA is excited to do that as well, and we certainly have the demand in our community for a pre-K space at both 3 and 4 years of age. So very excited that we had a great year with the YMCA, end quote. On the feeding front, Murray said everyone that is 18 or under is eligible to eat free breakfast and lunch in ECISD. Quote, those sites that are offering our summer learning experience, elementary, middle, and high, are the same sites that we're offering our summer feeding program, end quote, Murray said. A complete list is available on the ECISD website. Quote, one difference between what we were able to do in the last 2 years and today is that in order to eat free of charge breakfast and lunch during the summer months, you have to eat on site. There is no pickup window. We're not delivering meals. Those were all options that the federal government allowed us to leverage because of the pandemic. But since COVID has subsided significantly in our community, the federal government now requires that summer feeding occur on school sites. Individuals that are interested simply need to go to one of those sites, and they have to remain in the cafeteria and eat their food on site, so that is one change. But it is free of charge to anyone 18 years of age or under, and we feed 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, end quote, he said. Education leaders seek oil tax money. With West Texas's woeful history of sending more oil and gas tax revenues to Austin than it gets back, officials of the Ector County Independent School District, Odessa College, and the University of Texas Permian Basin are hoping for better results when the 88th legislature convenes January 10th in Austin. The Texas Oil and Gas Association just reported that oil producers paid the state comptroller's office a record $666 million and natural gas producers $339 million for April before oil companies paid $595 million and gas interests $413 million for May in their respective 4.6% and 7.5% severance taxes. Quote, these monthly amounts are remarkable in that they exceed the dollars paid of some entire past year's revenues, end quote, TXOGA President Todd Staples said. Quote, tax revenue generated by robust oil and natural gas activity across Texas continues to be a game changer for Texans, providing billions of dollars in funding for our state's public schools and universities, roads, first responders, and essential services. Quote, the indispensable role of this industry plays in Texas' continued economic successes underscores the importance of policies that encourage responsible development of our natural resources, end quote. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said legislatures gave the district $298,953,164 for the previous biennium and $311,185,603 for the current one that will end on September 30th, 2023. Quote, I fully expect continued increases in school funding allocations, end quote, Dr. Murray said Tuesday. Quote, we will continue to invest these resources in our strategic plan and build upon the successes we are experiencing. Investing in the education of our children continues to be the most important investment we make. It ensures a strong Texas, end quote. Noting that UTPB got total state funding of $67.5 million for the previous biennium and $71 million for this one, UTPB President Sandra Woodley said, quote, the university is always grateful for state appropriations that support our mission. If there are additional revenues, our priorities for new funding include programs for mental health initiatives for our students and staff, including startup funds to ramp up several health-related academic programs, end quote, Dr. Woodley said Tuesday. We also want to grow our academic opportunities around cybersecurity. Both of these fields are very important for filling workforce gaps in this region, end quote. OC Chief Financial Officer Brandy Hamm said her college received $19.3 million from the state for the previous biennium and $19.7 million for the current one. Quote, it's paid out in 10 payments from January through October, end quote, Hamm said Monday. Quote, we're hopeful for an increase in appropriations as well as increased enrollment. We fill out our legislative appropriations request, and it's put together with all the community colleges. The trend was that an oil boom was not good for OC because enrollment would go down. But there has been a different trend for the last number of years, end quote, Hamm said. Quote, oil is doing well and enrollment has increased, end quote. OC to consider downtown bids. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will have a special meeting at 5 p.m. June 15th in the Zant Community Room of the Salisbury Campus Center. The only item on the agenda is to consider and approve bids for OC's downtown project at 222 East 4th Street. Phase 1 will be a large green space, the two performance canopies, the entryway, the splash pad, the restrooms, and other items. Vice President of Administrative Services Ken Zertner said in May that completion of that project could take anywhere from 8 to 10 months. Local News Roundup. Love Triangle leads to arrest. An Odessa man was arrested on weapons charge Monday in connection with a love triangle. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer was dispatched to a disturbance call in the 800 block of East 25th Street shortly after midnight Monday. When the officer arrived, the 49-year-old resident told him that he was in his bathroom when Joseph Albert Douglas, 27, walked in through his front door with a gun tucked inside the front of his pants. The resident said he was in fear for his life because Douglas began threatening him, saying, quote, you better come out here, I'm going to get you, end quote, and, quote, you stole my girl, end quote. Douglas was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a habitation with the intention of committing another felony, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remained in custody in the Ector County Jail as of Thursday on an $80,000 surety bond. Odessa injured in motorcycle crash. A 67-year-old Odessa motorcyclist had been taken to a Lubbock hospital Tuesday after fracturing his pelvis in a crash authorities said was caused by an 18-year-old who had been drinking. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the victim was traveling west in the 5000 block of East 52nd Street around 11 p.m. Tuesday when the driver of a Mazda 6 came out of an apartment complex right in front of him, causing him to crash. The motorcyclist and witnesses told police the driver of the Mazda fled from the scene without stopping. According to the report, police later found the car at the back of the same apartment complex with significant damage to the left front quarter panel and with deployed airbags. Police identified the driver of the car as Victor Mendoza III. He told officers he'd been drinking at the pool with some friends at the apartment complex prior to the crash, and he fled the scene because he panicked at not having a driver's license, the report stated. According to the report, Mendoza smelled strongly of an alcoholic beverage. Mendoza was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of accident involving serious bodily injury early Wednesday morning and released later the same day after posting a $10,000 surety bond. MCH offering active shooter training. Next class scheduled Tuesday on MCH campus. Medical Center Hospital and the Ettrick County Hospital District Police Department are hosting their next active shooter event and Stop the Bleed course Tuesday in the Nursing Education Classroom at 1 Doctor's Place, 500 North Washington, at 1 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. The Civilian Response to Active Shooter Events, CRASE course, designed and built on the Avoid, Deny, Defend, ADD strategy developed by ALERRT, provides strategies, guidance, and a proven plan for surviving an active shooter event. Civilians who find themselves embroiled in such events must be prepared to take immediate action to save their own lives before law enforcement arrives. Without effective training, many victims can be seriously injured or killed. CRASE is presented by certified instructors with the Ettrick County Hospital District Police Department. The Stop the Bleed course works hand-in-hand with CRASE and prepares you to respond to emergencies where there is massive bleeding from an injury. Massive uncontrolled bleeding from any cause can result in death in 5 to 10 minutes. However, anyone can act as an immediate responder and save lives if they know what to do to stop life-threatening bleeding. The class will go over proper bleeding control techniques, including how to use your hands, dressings, and tourniquets to control life-threatening bleeding. The STB course is presented by a certified instructor with MCH Trauma Services. To register for the event or to inquire about setting up a new event at your place of business, please email Sirena Watts at sperkins@echd.org or Sergeant Danny Brookshire at dbrookshire@echd.org. Sales tax up over last year. The City of Odessa received its June sales tax check in the amount of $5,024,787.78. This amount includes the economic development sales tax of 1/4 cent. The City of Odessa will receive $4,019,830.22, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $1,004,957.56. The city saw an increase in sales tax revenue with June's sales tax revenue total of $4,019,830.22, which reflects a $527,827.52, or 15.12% as compared to June 2021. The year-to-date total sales revenue for fiscal year 2021-22 is up 29.10%. or $7,990,071.23, as compared to budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. In addition, the 2021-22 year-to-date amount is above the previous fiscal year-to-date amount of $5,360,051.64, or 17.82%. The city has budgeted $37,500,000 in net sales tax revenue for this current fiscal year. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax revenue from 2 months prior to collection, i.e., June's collection is based on April sales. Medical Center Health System will receive $4,218,782. That is an increase of $942,261 from this same time last year. Businessman honored with West Texas Conservation Award. The Borderlands Research Institute and the Borderlands Research Foundation honored Houston businessman John L. Now III with the inaugural West Texas Conservationist of the Year Award on May 25th. The award was presented at a special event at the River Oaks Country Club in Houston. Now has impacted all corners of the country through his conservation vision. Among his myriad accomplishments, he currently serves on the boards of the National Park Foundation, the Congressional Sportsman Foundation, the American Battlefield Trust, and the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation. Here in Texas, he is a longtime member of the Texas Historical Commission and is currently serving as a board chairman. In West Texas, Now has partnered with the Borderlands Research Institute, BRI, at Sol Ross State University in Alpine on numerous wildlife and habitat research projects. In 2007, John acquired Nine Point Mesa Ranch in southern Brewster County, a breathtaking high desert oasis teeming with wildlife and the location of a continuing restoration success story, thanks in large part to Now's passion for West Texas and the wildlife that thrives there. Quote, John L. Now III has certainly made his mark on conservation in West Texas and is a shining example of private land stewardship, end quote, said Dan Allen Hughes, Jr., former chairman of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission, who now chairs BRI's advisory board. Quote, John has created a conservation legacy through his unwavering support of research, management, and philanthropy, end quote. Now is a firm believer in science-based land management and has opened his gates to the staff and students of the Borderlands Research Institute. Quote, we've been fortunate to partner with John on a variety of research projects at Nine Point Mesa Ranch, end quote, said Dr. Lewis Harbison, who is the Dan Allen Hughes, Jr., BRI Endowed Director and Professor of Wildlife Management at Solra State University. Quote, the ranch is an extension of Solra State University and has become a training ground for our students, who will become the next generation of conservation professionals, end quote. The event was also a Borderlands Research Foundation fundraiser supporting the work of the Borderlands Research Institute. Quote, we're thrilled to honor John L. Now III as the 2022 West Texas Conservationist of the Year, end quote, said Borderlands Research Foundation Chairman Alan Smith. Quote, the proceeds of the event will help support the conservation mission of the Borderlands Research Institute into the future, end quote. PSP partners with Loving Schools for Energy Internships. An innovative new education opportunity is launching at Loving Municipal Schools this week in the form of summer energy internships for high school students. Using a unique design that brings energy companies to a central platform, 13 Loving Municipal Schools students, ranging from sophomores to seniors, will be able to explore the many facets of the energy industry. The Permian Strategic Partnership contributed funds to Loving Schools in an effort to impact the workforce pipeline for the energy sector in the Permian Basin. A recent study conducted by PSP and their partners, the Education Strategy Group, concluded that there are very few education programs at the high school level in the region that directly address the energy sector. This internship experience allows students and industry to interact in a new and unique way. Over the next 6 weeks, students will learn about the various career opportunities that are available in the energy space and create a final project that showcases their learning. The internship is led by two facilitators who are teachers at Loving High School and supported by the administrative team, including Superintendent Lee White, a news release said. The team will guide students through a framework that has been co-created with PSP's member companies, with direct participation from Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Diamondback, ExxonMobil/XTO, and Oxy. Subject matter experts from these companies will instruct and inform the students in person, as well as virtually to provide students with real-world learning experiences. There are multiple field experiences planned for the program, including a rig tour and visits to company offices. Students will attend the EnergyPlex conference in Hobbs and actively participate in the sessions. This model of internship solves many of the challenges that energy companies have in engaging young people by relieving the liability of having students on site while still providing them with robust learning experiences. Quote, this investment in internships for high school students allows us to create a framework for replication in other districts across the region. This is an exciting opportunity for the future of our energy workforce in the Permian Basin, end quote, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the Permian Strategic Partnership. The culminating presentations will take place at Loving High School on July 18th. The press and public are invited to attend.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.